Amen. Meet with us, Lord. So this morning, as we celebrate the first Sunday in Advent season, Cindy is going to light the candle symbolizing Jesus Christ, our hope. And let's all look forward to the Christmas season, mindful of the truth that Jesus Christ is our hope. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this Advent season. We thank you, Lord, for the opportunity each week just to remember and meditate on what your coming meant for the world and for each one of us. And Lord, just draw us together by your Holy Spirit. And we thank you for the spirit of wisdom and revelation to be released upon us today. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Amen. So the light of hope. We're going to get started this morning, but before we do into the word, I just wanted to share a story that I read. And the story is how the caverns of the Yellowstone National Park were discovered. And as the story goes, one of the original explorers were walking along the top of the mountain, and he fell through a hole. And he dropped down several hundred feet into this cavern, and he was stuck there for almost a week. And he had no food, he had no water, in almost total darkness. And every day, he would lay in the bottom of this cavern, and he would cry out, "Help me." Just hoping that somebody would hear his voice and figure out that he was down there. And sure enough, a guy came along and heard the faint sound and looked around and found the hole. And then he got help, and they began to dig him out. And that's actually how the cavern was discovered. And they asked him, "How did you hold on to hope day after day after day in the dark without giving up?" And he said, "There was one little pinhole ray of light that was coming through, and I just kept focused on the light." Hallelujah. And then, you know, there are many people around us today, and maybe you're even in the situation today that you feel like you're down in a cave, that you are in darkness, but looking for a way out. Looking for a way out. We get in the middle of situations and we look for ways out. And we don't always understand how we ended up the way we did. But we do know this: Jesus is the light of the world. And he's still shining today. So let's do everything we can to hold on to Jesus and that light, and encourage people around us to look to him for their help. Amen. Amen. So people, point number one, people need hope during times of darkness. And that hope is Christ. He will never leave us alone. Isaiah 60 verses 1 to 3 says, "Arise and shine, for your light has come." Let's read it together. "Arise and shine has come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon you. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and deep darkness the people. But the Lord will arise over you, and his glory will be seen upon you. The Gentiles shall come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your rising." Thank you, Jesus. Isaiah was actually prophesying about the birth of Jesus Christ. He was releasing hope to the Jews that their Messiah would come, and the Gentiles would be drawn to him also. And deep darkness was on the earth, and deep darkness was on the people. And you see, when deep darkness is on a person, it's because they don't hear the voice of the Lord. They don't know the word of God. And it takes us into deep darkness. And it was dark times between the New Covenant and the Old Covenant. And so the prophet begins to say, "Arise, arise." And this word means many things, but this is one thing that I want to share. It means to decree, to get up, to rouse up, to stand up, to stir up, to strengthen. So he's telling the people, get up. Get up. Has the Lord ever said to you, get up out of that place? You know, we can have the best pity parties all by ourselves, can't we? Hallelujah. And God says, get up, arise, arise, and then shine. That means to be luminous. You know, it's to be set on fire, to shine, so that people see Jesus Christ in you. And Jesus Christ wants to shine in you when you feel like you're in darkness. Hallelujah. He's our ray of hope. So Jesus is our hope this morning. Jesus is the light of the world. And Revelation 22:16 says, I am, this is Jesus talking. He said, I am the bright and morning star. And he is shining today. So my point is, people need hope in times of darkness. And people need hope all the time. Can someone say amen? Amen. Hallelujah. So let's look at the promises in Psalm 23. The psalm says, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. Every need of my life will be supplied by Jesus Christ. The Passion Translation says this, the Lord is my best friend and my shepherd. I always have more than enough. I always have more than enough. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. We really need to look at what we do have and be thankful and grateful. We talked about that last week, being thankful and grateful to the Lord for what we do have and what he has provided for us. And we know he sees our situation and the condition that we're in, and he will supply. Somebody say amen. Okay, and so Psalm, reading on in Psalm 23, it says, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. In the Passion Translation, they word it like this, Lord, even when your path takes me through the valley of deepest darkness, fear will never conquer me, for you already have. How beautiful. Fear is not going to overtake me, because God, you already have. You remain close to me and lead me through it all the way. God's not going to leave you. He's right in the midst of your situation, and he's walking with you. He's your hope. And then it says, your authority is my strength and my peace. The comfort of your love takes away my fear. I'll never be lonely, for you are near. Thank you, Lord. So this is the security we have for every day as well as for eternity. Because one of these days, each one of us are going to take that step from this present time into the eternal unknown world. And Jesus will be there. He'll be there to meet you in the valley, and he will escort you all the way through. Someone say, thank you, Jesus. Point number two, throughout history, his ministry, Jesus Christ, it brought hope wherever he traveled. And we're just going to take a little journey through Matthew chapter 8 about the healing miracles which Jesus performed in hopeless situations. Hopeless. The first one is Jesus cleansed the leper. And this is found in Matthew 8:3. And if you look at the passage, the scripture before that, it says that Jesus had come down from the mountain and there were great multitudes that were following him. And this leper came and worshiped him. And the leper said, Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean. And then let's pick it up in Matthew 8:3. Let's read it together. Then Jesus put out his hand and touched him, saying, I am willing, be cleansed. And immediately his leprosy was cleansed. Thank you, Lord. This guy had an incurable disease. He was an outcast. He was rejected. And you know what? Lepers had no hope that their disease was just going away. And they were considered the untouchables in the culture. And physical contact with them might expose a person to infection. And in the case of the Jews, that type of contact made the person ceremonially unclean. And that means they were unfit for worship in the congregation of Israel. So they couldn't come into worship together. But I love how he said, if you are willing, you can make me clean. And Jesus said, I am willing. Let's say it. I am willing. I am willing. Sometimes we have to talk to ourselves and convince ourselves Jesus is willing to touch us and help us in the worst of situations. This situation looked absolutely hopeless. I read an illustration about a group of students that were visiting a psychiatric institution. And they had gone there to observe the variety of mental health illnesses. And one of the individuals was considered a tragic case, and he was referred to as a No Hope Carter. They called him No Hope Carter. And actually, he had been a victim of venereal disease, and it was going through its final stages when the brain is affected. And before he began losing his mind, his doctors met with him and told him that there was no known cure for him. And he begged for just a ray of hope, but was told once again the disease would run its course and then the end would be his death. And gradually his brain deteriorated and he became worse and more despondent. And they reported that 2 weeks before his death, he paced in his small room. He was in mental agony and his eyes were just stared blankly. And over, he muttered two words, no hope, no hope. There wasn't any hope. And you know what? This leper, there was no hope for this leper either. But we got to remember, he went to Jesus. He worshiped Jesus. And he said to Jesus, if you are willing. I wonder if someone had told Carter about Jesus Christ rather than telling him there was no hope, because Jesus Christ would have met him on that other side. And as far as I certainly hope for Carter, he did, because we're never alone in any situation that is so dark and looks so hopeless and incurable according to men. But God, are you willing? And Jesus said, I am willing. So Jesus is our good shepherd. We're going to go on to the next passages in Matthew 8, and it says, this is the story about the centurion servant. How many's heard this before? Hallelujah. So it says, now when Jesus had entered Capernaum, a centurion came to him, pleading with him, saying, Lord, my servant is lying at home, paralyzed, dreadfully tormented. And Jesus said to him, I will come and heal him. And the centurion, you know, he was an officer, and it would have been probably unusual for him to have such compassion for his servants. But he definitely had a compassion that drove him to go to Jesus and ask for help. Got to know where to go ask for help. Amen. And going on into that passage, I don't believe I have the scriptures in my PowerPoint, but the centurion, he told Jesus, he said, I'm not even worthy for you to come under my roof into my house. If you'll just speak a word, and my servant will be healed. And Jesus, he was marveled, the scripture said, at this centurion's faith, that he had not even seen this kind of faith in Israel, in the Jews. But here is this Gentile centurion, an officer, deeply compassionate about his servant who was paralyzed and being tormented, and he went to Jesus and asked him for help. And you know what happened? Jesus spoke the word, the authority of God's word. He spoke his word, and that servant was healed. Thank you, Jesus. You see, we can learn to speak the word over our situation to see things change. If we keep rehearsing the struggle and the problem that we're going through, that's exactly what we're going to get. Somebody say amen. We got to talk to ourselves. We all talk to ourselves all the time anyway inside our heads, don't we? We can have amazing conversations going on. Hallelujah. But we've got to talk to God and declare that, decree that word. Let it come forth. Arise. Decree the word of God. Let the word come forth in God's will. So we just thank God that Jesus found such great faith in this Gentile. And I read that he only used that word marveled twice. And the other time was he marveled at the unbelief of the Jews. So Jesus marveled that this man had so much faith and understood authority. So let's go on. Here's another one. Jesus healed Peter's mother-in-law. And that's in Matthew 8, 14 to 15. It says, now when Jesus had come into Peter's house, he saw his wife's mother lying sick with a fever. So he touched her hand, and the fever left her, and she arose and served them. And you know, there's always a lot of jokes about this particular thing, because she was sick, really sick, and she got up out of that sick bed and started serving. And you know, often families or our children, they'll wonder, oh no, what am I going to do? Mom's sick. Has that thought ever went through your head? You know, oh no, mom's sick. How are we going to do this? You know, what's going on? What's going to happen? But Jesus healed her. She got right up and she started serving. You know, and I've heard women say, you know, they feel like they just got out of their sick bed and they just kept going because that's what they had to do. But we just thank God. We have an example in the scripture. Lord, just like you healed Peter's mother-in-law, heal me so I can get up and serve my family, because that's what I want to do. So you just speak that word over yourself. Encourage yourself in the Lord. Thank you, Lord. So, and two, I thought about what service that was to Jesus. That was showing how thankful she was. She got up and was able to serve him. Thank you, Lord. So let's go on. One more. Jesus healed many who were demon-possessed. Matthew 8, 16 through 17. When evening had come, they brought to him many who were demon-possessed, and he cast out the spirits with a word and healed all who were sick, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, he himself took our infirmities and bore our sicknesses. With a word, Jesus cast out spirits and healed all who were sick. And our only hope over demonic oppression and oppression and possession is Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ has defeated the enemy, and he is still defeating him today, because he took our infirmities and he bore our sicknesses in his own body on the cross. And so be encouraged today. There's hope, whatever you're going through, whether you're sick or what it is, whatever it is. If you're being tormented in your mind, Jesus Christ is your hope today. He's our only hope. He's our only hope. Just say, he's my only hope. Jesus, you're my only hope. I need you, Jesus, in my situation. Come, Lord Jesus. Jesus also spoke to the storm in Matthew 26, 27. And this was after he had done a miracle, And they all got in the boat and they were getting ready to go across to the other side. And when Jesus got on there, he must have been tired because he went right down and took a nap. And so when all the storm started going on, they're like, where is Jesus? Well, he was down sleeping. And so they became fearful. And they went and woke him up. And when he got up, he said, why are you fearful, O ye of little faith? Then he arose and rebuked the winds and the sea, and there was a great calm. So the men marveled, saying, who can this be that even the winds and the sea obey him? So even nature obeys him. So he's our hope in the storm. And Jesus commanded the demons to come out of two men. And this is another account in Matthew about delivering people. And let's read this together in Matthew 8:28-29. When he had come to the other side, to the country of Gergesene, there met him two demon-possessed men coming out of the tombs, exceedingly fierce, so that no one could pass that way. And suddenly they cried out, saying, what have we to do with you, Jesus, you Son of God? Have you come here to torment us before the time? And so we see in this passage that those demons recognized who Jesus was. It's like, what have you come to do to us, you Son of God? They're identifying who Jesus was. And then they ask, have you come to torment us before our time? And the demons, we see in this passage how they operate through people. They will operate through people because they need a body to dwell in. And these demons actually requested Jesus that he would send them into the herd of swine. And Jesus actually granted their request. So let's go on and finish out this story. The scripture says, and he said to them, go. So when they had come out, they went into the herd of swine. And suddenly the whole herd of swine ran violently down the steep place into the sea and perished in the water. And then those who kept them fled. And they went away into the city and told everything, including what had happened to the demon-possessed men. And so these demons, you got to remember, they're always here to destroy, to destruct, to whatever it is, whether it's people or whether it is an animal. But we see here the power that's in Jesus Christ. And all of these demons that went into this herd of swine, those demons were all in just two men. So no wonder the scripture says they were fierce and you couldn't even get past their way. They came out of the tombs to harass and torment people. But Jesus, he is hope. In this situation, I'm sure the people that were involved in this village tried to take care of these things, but the only one who could really take care of it is who? Jesus, because he's our hope. So point number three, Jesus is our blessed hope. We know that Jesus Christ is coming again. And let's read Titus 2:11-14 together. It's good to read the word. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. So let's read this together. For the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in the present age, looking for the blessed hope and glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us, that he might redeem us from every lawless deed and purify for himself his own special people, zealous for good works. Thank you, Lord. That last verse there in the Passion Translation says, he sacrificed himself for us, that we might purchase our freedom from every lawless deed and to purify for himself a people who are his very own, passionate to do what is beautiful in His eyes. Thank you, Jesus. So He did it for us. Do you see how much Jesus does for us? He did it all for us. He did it all for us. He gives us, each one of us, an opportunity to partake of what He did for us. And we all need a revelation and an understanding of how much He loves us and that He has redeemed us from the lawlessness and the lawless deeds and the sins that we've done. Because He's the one that purifies us. You can never be good enough to get purified. Do you know you can't purify yourself? Only Jesus Christ can purify us. I wanted to share one more story as I'm getting ready to wrap this up. And this story is called Saved by Hope. And it actually happened in December 2010. And it's an interesting article. It appeared in the Nashville newspaper, Datelined Memphis. And this is what it said. A woman named Hope pulled a man from chilly harbor waters after watching him drive his car off the bank in an apparent suicide attempt. Hope Phyllis, 38, said Monday she was sitting in her car with her husband and son Sunday afternoon when she saw the man drive down Riverside Drive into Wolf River Harbor. Philip said she swam towards the man. Let's see. Philip said she saw the man climb on top of the sinking car. His face was like, "I'm so desperate. Please help me." And all I could do was run into the water, she said. And she swam towards the man, who was about 25 feet off the bank, and used a tree branch to pull him toward the bank. And her husband helped to drag him out of the water. And the man said he was a student at the University of Tennessee. And she said, he just kept saying to us, he wasn't worth anything. And I said, you are worth something. You're here, aren't you? And then he asked my name. And I said, Hope. And he said, what's your name? And he repeated it twice. And he had a smile on his face. And you knew he no longer wanted to die. And the police unit came and they took the man to the regional medical hospital. And our hope in God is because He is the God of hope. So picture yourself drowning in the sea of sin. Going under in an ocean. Sometimes we're swimming in this ocean of regret. Sinking down into deep waters of guilt. But what does God do? He dives in and He rescues us. And He gives us hope. Just like this man was saved by a woman named Hope, who God had positioned right where she needed to be to see everything that went on, because He did not want that man's life to be wasted. Every one of us is valuable. Every one of us have a reason for living. So my question today is, will you acknowledge Jesus Christ as your hope this morning? We can have a direct, personal relationship with Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is our hope. And He was born into this world to save us from our sins. He came to give life, showing us that we could be born again. He gave us life, which allowed us to be born again as we offer our lives to Him. Let's bow our heads and pray. Father, thank You for this hope that we have. Lord, Your scripture says, Your word says, now hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us. Lord, I thank You that hope doesn't disappoint. God, that Your love is being poured out in the hearts of everyone here and everyone who is listening today. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Even when we feel like we're without any strength, God, you came and you died for us. So, Father, we thank you that you've done so much for us. And today, Lord, we thank you, Lord, that even as we sit right here this morning and just repent of our sins, that there's something in your life that you need to let go of to God. Lord, we just repent of our sins. And we thank you, Lord, that the blood of Jesus, you said your blood of Jesus would cleanse us from all unrighteousness this morning. Father, that we'd be in right standing with you once again. Lord, that that hope will just swell up within our hearts and our minds. Thank you, Lord. You know, having salvation, receiving salvation isn't difficult. It's simply giving your life to Jesus and asking him to forgive you. And you know, without Jesus, sin is an incurable disease. It's an incurable disease. Jesus is the only one that has the cure. He's the only one that can wash over our hearts this morning, wash away that guilt, the shame. He took all that on the cross for us. He took it all there. And so this morning, you know, if there's someone that wants prayer, I'm going to ask you just to come up. If you want prayer right now, if you feel like you're in just such a hopeless situation, I'm going to ask the prayer team if they'll come on up too. That is Pastor Cheryl and Elder Sylvia, if you'll come on up too. And Pastor Leonard, you're with me this morning. Is there something you want us to pray for today? Because Jesus is our hope. He's our hope. And he's well able. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Even when we were still sinners, he died for us. I love that. You don't have to be perfect. Jesus wants to fill your heart with hope today. He's our hope. Thank you, Lord. If you want prayer, come on up. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus, for your hope. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. If you just wait right there, we'll pray with you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. I can pray with you.